You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast, your daily Broncos podcast over here at the Locked On NFL Network, giving you the best coverage, news, and insight on all things orange and blue related. Hope you guys had an amazing weekend. I know I did. We got really some exciting things in store for the future of Locked On Broncos. We're going to be joined this week by Broncos defensive lineman Shelby Harris, the hero of that Pittsburgh Steelers game, but he's done a lot more for the Broncos besides that one play. Very excited to get him on here to talk as well. But today's episode of the show, we got an interview. We're joined by Mario Vitanzi of Vitanzi Therapy. You guys can follow him at Mile High Mario, and he's formerly known as the one duo back in the day of Mile High Sports with Benjamin Albright. And, you know, we call him Benny and the Kid. So Mario, my man, how are you doing today?
Man, too blessed to be stressed, man. I appreciate you having me on. I'm a fan of your work. And yeah, ever since doing that radio show, man, there's something about it. It was just a weekend show and we had more hits, you know, just via the podcast as opposed to people listening live. But man, it was such a fun show. And Ben was obviously a great co-host and he's on to bigger and better things now, hopefully. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward to making this a weekly thing for sure.
Absolutely. And if you guys don't know, we're going to be calling this segment Well Adjusted with Mario Vitanzi. And I tell you what, if you guys are ever in need of any kind of chiropractic care, if your body's not feeling right, guys, the one guy I would recommend is Mario over there at Vitanzi Therapy. You got to check him out. We'll have him tell a little bit about that towards the end of the show. But we got a lot in store today. As always, I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the rest of the NFL. Also do some work for CodyRourkeNFL.com. And as always, joined by my co-host, Cameron Parker. You guys can follow him on Twitter at Cameron Parker PO. So Cam, you know, I know you guys spent this past weekend. I mean, the legendary Brandon Perna, Benjamin Albright, all you guys got together for a flag or a touch football game. And I tell you what, I mean, the stars were out for this event.
I mean, yeah, it was pretty star studded. And then at the tail end of it, when we had like two young kids join both of our teams, I mean, it definitely was fresh legs. And then obviously when they left and started running hills on the over at Eagle Crest High School, I mean, it made me feel jealous.
And that was just disrespectful on their part.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't
need to go run hills after playing with us. You know, that was just a bad look.
Yeah, but no, it was fun. It was super fun, and actually Ryan Edwards too of Orange and Blue 760 came in late. It was a fun time. And yeah, it was just a fun little get together. So it was fun to be a part of.
Well, and I heard the recap and from, you know, several sources that are telling me that Brandon Perna looked like one of the best guys out there. And I know we were joking about it a little bit before the show and Mario can attest to this, but Mario said he found a couple of Brandon's ACLs on the ground. He picked them up for him. What was all that like? You know, what was his 40 speed if you guys had to clock it?
I wouldn't necessarily say he knows where to be, right? So he puts himself in a good position, which is good because he doesn't have really any top end speed. He's all about perfect placement. You know, it's kind of like Josie Jewell. He's not real fast. He's not like a game breaker guy, but he'll make the play because he's always positioning himself in the right spot. So Brandon Perna is like the Josie Jewell of touch football.
Just not as muscular and beefy. And we
close.
All saw.
Oh, yeah, man. Close, but not quite.
And more hairy, too. I mean, as we all saw on the social media feed, yeah.
Oh, Lord, I had a nightmare about that, too.
Yeah,
that was scary. I didn't know what that was. You know, I think kind of what you said, I thought that was more of a face mask that he put on his chest to maybe help compress breathing a little bit.
Definitely thought that was a charcoal mask, man. Yeah, I saw that. And upon closer examination, it was his chest. That was weird. Freaked me out a little bit.
And the cool thing is here in a little bit, we're going to be actually getting Brandon Perna on the show in the next couple of weeks here in Locked On Broncos. And he does a lot of great stuff over there at his YouTube channel. You know, highly encourage you guys to follow him. One of the most entertaining personalities that really, you know, I'd say he's been kind of like blacklisted for some reason. And in the media world, I don't understand that because he is a great guy. They want to put out Barstool tweets and have those guys do stuff, but they won't let Colorado's own child, Brandon Perna, do it. So on today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking with Mario. Mario does a lot of really cool things outside of just working on it, on the health aspect of just people. He gets to work on Broncos players that come in for an adjustment. You know, the NFL grind is 16-game regular season schedule. Sometimes you have a Sunday game and then you have a Thursday game. Mario is one of the guys that helps the Broncos players get their bodies right. So Mario, you know, this past season you were able to travel with the Broncos this year to work on some players to help provide them some of that care right before a game and even after the game. Tell us what that experience was like for you.
Man, it's hard to even put into words, man. I remember the guy that kind of got me set up with everything, just for the sake of an identity, I guess, maybe not necessarily say who it is, but you know, he reached out to me and asked if I'd be interested in that. And I was like, man, that sounds fantastic. But, you know, living the married life, had to ask the wife. But it was kind of one of those situations where it's like, yeah, you're going to go ahead and say yes to this. Me asking you if it's okay is more of a formality than anything. But of course, she was on board. She got to travel to some of the away games. And, you know, it really put into perspective how difficult these guys' lives are. Because I'm getting worn out, you know, simply from traveling and then working on anywhere from 5 to like a dozen of them the day before and day of the game, you know, staying in the same hotel, setting up a table in my hotel room. And, you know, they're just kind of swinging by, getting game ready. And man, I'm telling you, by week 17, I was burnt out. And I'm thinking, yeah, I don't really have a lot of room to complain because these guys are going out and just beating themselves senseless every week. If they can do that, and if Justin Simmons can stay on the field for literally every single play throughout the entire season, then I think I could finish strong. You know, first world problems happening on Mario's end.
It really does. And you got to factor in, too. I mean, I played football for a long time. I'm sure you guys have it as well. And, you know, Cameron was just telling me, too, after that flag football, he says his body's having a hard time recovering from it, you know, due to soreness. And the fact that these guys go out there and play at the highest level at the fastest of speeds. I mean, for people that watch an NFL game, if you ever go see college football, you go see the NFL, just the level of speed difference, the level of talent is so drastically different. The grind, the grueling nature of the game, the physicality of it is absolutely astonishing to kind of see the difference between that. And you look at guys that have been battling injuries too. And really, Mario, a lot of what you do as well is injury prevention as well through that. So, you know, I know you probably have a lot of cool and funny stories. If there's anything that you can share, if you could think of any story that you've encountered that's pretty interesting or funny or just kind of surreal, what was one of your best experiences on the road this past year?
It's hard to say just because, you know, everything kind of becomes a routine. You know, you fly out. I would usually fly out a couple days before just to kind of, you know, take in the city. If it's a location, they got to play in some cool places this past year, you know, get up to Baltimore, kind of check out that scene. Just traveling all around. It was cool to like take in the city, you know, when they played the Jets, you know, my wife and I kind of explored New York a little bit. And so I would say just the experiences and getting to see and watch games, Broncos games on the road. It was a new experience because I've never actually seen them play a road game, say for Super Bowl 33. My dad was actually the official chiropractor for him back then. So they gave him a couple Super Bowl tickets, and that was really the only Broncos away game I had ever seen. So it was interesting to experience these different stadiums and get to see the team play live on the road, and also kind of like break down the fans of these opposing teams. You know, going to a place like Baltimore, you figure that they've got great fans. You know, their team's usually pretty good, you know, pretty consistently making the playoffs. And I was shocked at how many empty seats there were for that Baltimore game. You know, going to a place like Arizona, and there were probably about as many Bronco fans as Cardinal fans there in Arizona. It's like you expect that in LA with the Chargers because nobody there gives a damn about the Chargers. But just getting to experience, you know, these different stadiums and obviously taking a football game, there's nothing wrong with that. So I would say, you know, not necessarily one moment, but just being able to experience that road life is pretty cool.
You know, you and I have talked about it before, Mario, just with your experience. But one of the things that I think is so super amazing, obviously, with this type of exposure is to also experience friendships with players and growing that particular brand. And because we always think of these guys as just athletes, and we don't really just think of them as human beings because we put them on a pedestal. But this type of exposure and going out on the road and being with these players, it affords you the opportunity to grow a lot of friendships and relationships with players that are, you know, not playing on Sunday, or should we say, or are playing on Sunday. That just I think that to me has been probably one of the cooler parts as far as the networking thing for you.
It's real interesting, man, and you hit it right on the head. You know, these guys, one of the most consistent things that I talk about with these guys are Twitter trolls. And, you know, we're all very active on Twitter, and we've seen how it goes. It's like, God forbid you post something that's your own opinion, because, you know, everyone and their mother that disagrees with it is going to come after you. So one of the things I've kind of like bonded with these guys over are how ridiculous people are on social media, where they will reach out to these players, like these people that are so desperate to insert themselves into the lives of these athletes. They'll talk crap about them. The athletes will actually respond. And then these guys like that just called them out, these trolls that just called them out, they'll say like, oh, hey, thanks for responding. Like, what? You reached out to them on their own personal account to tell them that they suck and that they're no good, but you're so starstruck by them that you think it's so cool that they responded to you being a troll. It's very bizarre. You know, if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. Twitter is so toxic. And one of the ways that I kind of endear myself to a lot of the guys is they'll tell me like, hey, you know, this troll is saying something on my page. Like, you know, these guys will post pictures with their families, and then fans will be like, oh, like, are you focusing on football? Are you doing everything you can? Like, oh, we only won 6 games last year. What are you doing different to be a better player? As if there's no life of these guys outside of the football field. It's like, you got to realize they're actually human beings, and, you know, they can't respond to a lot of these troll tweets because then they get wrapped up into it and they end up saying something that they're going to regret. And you don't remember about the troll that reached out to them. You remember saying, oh, well, he stooped down to that person's level and said something. So they'll say, yeah, Mario, I got this guy, you know, he's, you know, said this, made this comment, if you want to go roast him real quick. So, you know, I'll oblige every once in a while. And so astonishingly enough, that's endeared a number of them to me. And really just talking to them like they're normal people. You know, like you said, you're not putting them up on a pedestal. Like, they're human beings. They just have a different profession where they're in the limelight a lot more. But at the end of the day, man, the pads come off. They're all just people. They're all just human beings.
I think that's an important point to make. And, you know, we just had Will Parks on the show last week, and we actually brought up the Twitter trolls because, you know, for a guy like Will entering his fourth season, you know, he's all about focus. I mean, if there's one guy that I've seen dialed in and locked in to trying to improve and take the next step, it's been Will. And in 2018, he really took the next step. But, you know, a guy who's become a huge fan favorite in Denver still gets those trolls in his mentions. And we just saw, I mean, the whole debacle of what Twitter can become with Emmanuel Sanders and D-Mac and
You could be Von Miller. People are still going to reach out and say, I mean, dude, Brandon Stokely said that we should trade Von Miller. And it's like, I'm sure that this is just a character he's playing. They have to talk Broncos 24/7. I understand that's hard, especially now with baseball starting. You got March Madness. There's not a whole hell of a lot going on at Dove Valley that's going to be worth talking about. So what does Brandon Stokely do last year and then continues to perpetuate this year? Saying that we should trade a top 5 defensive player in this league for draft picks in hopes that we're going to be able to draft someone as good as Von Miller. It's the Raiders conundrum. Like, all right, you have all of these picks. The only problem was the guys that you had on your team are worth more than the picks you got because you as a franchise historically suck at drafting. Now, the Broncos haven't been terrible, but it makes no sense to me. It's all overreaction as people are saying, well, how can we compete immediately? How can we compete next year? So they're looking, it's like, oh, well, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Well, that's what we're doing, right? So you want to take one of the biggest puzzle pieces that you have on your team and you want to trade him. It doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't. And we live in a shock and awe where people will tweet the most crazy things for retweets, likes, just to create discussion without anything substantial. We've seen that. And I'd like to spend a little bit more time on that, but we got to move on to segment number two. We're going to continue talking football with Mario Vitanzi here in segment number two. But before we get to that, I got to remind you guys, you already subscribed to the Locked On Broncos podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, everywhere else. Well, now you can do it with the Himalaya Podcast app. Head over to your Apple or your Google library store for your app store and search for Himalaya, and then subscribe to the Locked On Broncos podcast. Just another way you can listen to your favorite Broncos podcast. All right, now we're going to get into the football realm. It was really cool hearing from Mario in terms of what it's like to, you know, be in his career as not only just a guy who does radio every once in a while, but a guy who works with Broncos players, is very tuned into the game, knows what he's talking about with the X's and O's, and I figured that'd be the perfect point to talk to Mario about some of these offseason moves. Now, Mario, there's been a lot of discussion. You know, we look at quarterback, we look at future quarterback, you know, for the Broncos down the road, a guy that could play for the next 10 to 15 years. Everybody is falling in love with the Patrick Mahomes effect of they got to get the next guy that is absolutely mobile, productive, and has the ability to do all these different things with his legs. But I feel as if every NFL team follows that same role, you're going to miss out on quite a bit. And there's a lot of talk about Drew Lock, Dwayne Haskins, etc. But the Broncos have made some big moves this year in terms of getting Joe Flacco, who John Elway still believes has a lot on the table to still to offer. And I go back to last season watching him play. I mean, his third down completion percentage was something that bothered me, because you could go against the Steelers, you could go against the Broncos on that road game that you were at, and he just made every third down throw, especially, and his deep ball is very pretty. What does the addition of Joe Flacco, in your opinion, mean for the Broncos in 2019?
They had to do something, right? And they didn't have a lot of options. Case Keenum didn't end up being the 2017 Case Keenum that they had seen with Minnesota. And honestly, Case gets a raw deal, and maybe this is a different discussion for a different time, but everything that he excelled at while he was in Minnesota, Bill Musgrave did not do any of that. Case Keenum was one of the best play-action quarterbacks, so he comes to Denver, and what does Musgrave do? Musgrave keeps him under center, kind of puts him in the shotgun a little bit, but he's staying in the pocket. Case Keenum is 6 feet tall on a good day. Okay, he throws a fine deep ball because he's a little bit further back in the pocket, you know, doesn't have to worry about the pressure. But Case Keenum couldn't throw the 5-10 yard out because he couldn't step up into the pocket because all of his offensive linemen are 5-6 inches taller than him. So Minnesota, what they did is got him out of the pocket. Anyway, I digress. I'm going to start getting on this. Let's answer the question. Joe Flacco is going to be just the stalwart guy. And it feels like they're trying to build almost a Baltimore Ravens type feel, where they want the defense to excel. That's why they brought in Callahan. They brought in Jackson. That's why they hired Fangio. Like, the defense, really, if you look at yards surrendered per game, given the fact that they ran cover zero, which is like straight man, the majority of their games and the majority of their plays, I think it was like over 90% that they were in cover zero. And they still, like, the defense still did a great job despite the opposing offenses knowing exactly what was coming. You know, no exotic blitz packages, which when you have, you know, Shaq Barrett, Shane Ray, Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, all these guys that can get after the passer, it's nonsense. So what they're trying to build is a culture where we're going to thrive on defense. We're going to run the ball down your throat. And we have a guy like Joe Flacco where he can hit the big ball, the deep ball if he needs to. He can make the short to intermediate throws. And what I see them doing, guys, they're just going to dink and dunk. They're going to let Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman and probably a third running back that they're going to get in the draft, probably fourth, fifth, maybe sixth round. I think Booker's role on this team is nixed. I'd be surprised if he actually made this team, just given his lack of usage. And really the only carries and touches he was getting was when Phil or Royce were hurt. And this is what they want to instill. So they want to impose their will on offenses because they realize the whole Patrick Mahomes thing, that's awesome. Patrick Mahomes's do not come out of the draft every single year. In fact, you know, if that happened, he wouldn't have been the third person all time in his first full season to throw for 50 touchdowns. This is an anomaly. So what the Broncos considered is, all right, well, what are our options? We roll with Case Keenum again, but unless we put him in the exact right position to succeed, it's not going to happen. We can trade for a guy like Joe Flacco. We could try and sign a guy like Nick Foles, who, as you saw, broke the bank. So this was the best direction to go as far as like bringing in Scangarello and the offense that he ran and, you know, kind of what they did with San Francisco. So he's going to be a game manager. And I know a lot of people don't like that term, but the best quarterbacks are game managers. That's exactly what Tom Brady did this past year. There weren't any huge big time plays. I mean, it was almost infuriating to watch that team because you almost knew what was coming, the swing passes, the run plays, the short balls, you know, and then that would open up for a couple shots downfield. This is not going to be a 2013 Broncos offense. This is not going to be a Chiefs offense. It's going to be a boring but effective and efficient offense, and they're going to win games, forcing turnovers and putting their offense in good spots.
Yeah, and I think for me, you know, one of the fascinating aspects of this is that the Broncos clearly wanted him, and they weren't the only one. And it's like you said, they didn't have very many options. But I thought that, you know, one of the things that Elway certainly gets a lot of flack for is him being in a bidding war for particular quarterbacks. And I thought that it was kind of interesting with should we say, Joe Flacco, maybe aside from Teddy Bridgewater in the free agent market, because that was probably the one driest aspect of free agency was quarterbacks, is that Elway went out and actually got his quarterback kind of in some ways like Peyton Manning, to where he went and got his guy, and he outbid a Washington Redskins team who oddly enough acquired Case Keenum in a trade. And so I think for me, Mario, and you can add more to it, but I thought it was kind of interesting given what the history has been with John Elway and him going as far as into a bidding war with quarterbacks, to at least in his history, aside from Peyton Manning, he doesn't really like to do that. But yet he went out and got Joe Flacco.
Elway's whole thing, man, is making a deal. And I've got to say, I was incredibly impressed with what he did in free agency, because when you have a Peyton Manning, it is so much easier to find free agents. I mean, that was when the Broncos were really making a splash in free agency. I mean, to this point, we've all heard the story where Emmanuel Sanders was in Kansas City basically with Andy Reid, where the Broncos called and said, yeah, you're going to be our receiver. So you get a call. If you're Emmanuel Sanders today, you know, and you're a free agent, Denver calls you and they say, hey, we're signing you away from Kansas City. It's like, who's your quarterback? Joe Flacco? No, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and stay here. So it's a little bit different trying to find free agents. So John Elway is always going to be win now. He's never going to accept that they are rebuilding, even though that's really what should have been going on every year since the Super Bowl win in 2015. This needed to be a rebuild. But John Elway, I don't think he's going to be around long enough, you know, doing this job long enough to see a full rebuild, which is why he's all about wanting to win now. And that's why this upcoming draft is so imperative. And from what I've heard, he's a huge Lock fan. And I feel like his draft status, man, I could see him going top 10. I could conceivably see him going at the end of the first round. I guess it all depends on how everything falls. But I think you go out and you get a Joe Flacco because you realize there are other needs. Like, there are other ways that you need to shore up your team. And just because this quarterback draft class is so lacking compared to last year's and compared to this year's, you do with Joe Flacco what they tried to do last year with Case Keenum, where you tread water for a couple of years. Hopefully you make the playoffs, you get back to relevance, and you start winning games. You become a more attractive place for these free agents to go. And then you can start skimping on guys. But right now with the current situation, they had to pay Juwan James all that money if they wanted to get him. Because this is not, oh, you're blocking for Peyton Manning, we're going to be in contention for a ring. Now it's, you know, we have not made the playoffs three straight years. We've been under 500 the past two seasons. It is no longer, and it's hard to hear for Bronco fans, this is no longer a destination. And that's what they have to build it back up to. So they had to give Kareem Jackson, Bryce Callahan, Juwan James this money. So we'll see how it goes from here. But no more deals being made for Elway. until they start competing the way they were.
And I agree with you to a certain extent there, too. I mean, go back to 2015, the year the Broncos won the Super Bowl. You were talking about the Broncos' model for the next couple of seasons is to really rely on that defense and have Joe Flacco manage the game. Well, guess what? In 2015, Peyton Manning, outside of the AFC Championship game, when he came back against the Chargers in Week 17 to lead that comeback after they were down at halftime, he managed that game. You go to the divisional round against Pittsburgh, he managed that game. And then go on to the Super Bowl, he didn't do anything spectacular, but one thing that made a difference, you had a stifling defense and you managed the game from an offensive standpoint. He had a couple turnovers there, but one of the biggest things was he connected with Emmanuel Sanders, Andre Caldwell on third down in big, big moments, moved the chains. That was the one thing the Broncos need, and it almost, I think, gave Broncos fans kind of a reassurance heading into when Peyton Manning retired was, well, look, the Broncos' next quarterback, all they need to do is have a guy that can manage a game because their defense is phenomenal. Now, the defense has been the strong suit of this team for the last four seasons. They still had their struggles, evidently, in certain areas, especially last year in terms of coverage. But under Coach Fangio, Ed Donatell, the system, the scheme, sounds more predicated to addressing fundamental errors first that cost them in a lot of matchups last season, to addressing that, and then putting his players in the best position to be successful based on their talent. And we didn't see, and I'm not going to sit here and bash Joe Woods or Vance Joseph, but that was not exactly happening with them last season in terms of what we're seeing right now from what Coach Fangio was saying. What, you know, you go back and you look at his Chicago Bears defense, the way that they looked, I really believe in a lot of what Coach Fangio is saying, what he plans for this Broncos defense.
Well, and that's exactly why you bring a defensive guy in here. It was very clear that Joe Woods was in over his head and Vance Joseph was in over his head. And I'm going to say this, and this might get me, or probably will get me, a lot of flack, because I know that Broncos country really has no nice things to say about Vance Joseph. Vance Joseph was exactly the coach that they wanted him to be in terms of him being a leader. You really ask any of the players, and this was kind of surprising to me, you ask any of the players what they thought of Vance Joseph, they all really like him, or like 95% of the guys, they have good things to say about Vance Joseph. The problem was, you know, managing the game while he was in the game. You know, we saw how poorly he managed timeouts and the clock, but, you know, that honestly shouldn't have been his role, which sounds insane because he's a head coach. But you look at all these other teams, there are positions of guys who are meant specifically to manage the clock, specifically to manage timeouts, stuff like that. The head coach needs to be a leader. They wanted him to be a Mike Tomlin, for lack of a better comparison, not just because they're both African-American, but because they're guys that would get the players to rally around them. And that's what VJ was very good at. All the players were ready to play for him. The problem is he wasn't a good coach. You know, he just wasn't ready. And with Joe Woods, you know, Woods came from being a defensive backs coach, being familiar with these guys. And like I said, they want to run cover zero. If you have Chris Harris, Aqib Talib, Bradley Roby, TJ Ward in his prime, Darian Stewart in his prime, Danny Trevathan and Brandon Marshall, both in their primes, it's a lot easier to go man-to-man. And it's like, this defense was good last year, but they weren't run cover zero 95% of the time good. No defense. It's like the Jaguars, you know, they got Bouye and Ramsey. They're not good enough to run cover zero 90 to 95% of the game. So you bring Fangio and you adapt this whole philosophy where no longer are you going to run a certain specific defense. He's kind of along the lines of Wade Phillips, where he's going to put guys in advantageous positions. You know, you look at an Eddie Jackson, all of the interceptions that he has, he's not making these phenomenal plays. He is smart and he's in the right place at the right time. That can be a Justin Simmons. You know, Adrian Amos, who I know a lot of people were fans of, I would take Will Parks over him because Will Parks is a playmaker. Amos was put in advantageous positions.
I feel like we could put Brandon Perna back there too, you know, based on our earlier conversation of him always being in position. You know, I'd like to see what Brandon Perna could do in a Coach Fangio style defense. But
I will say I did kind of fly a pass over my receiver's head and I threw it right to Perna. So he did pick me off one time. I know I was a little rusty. It was cold and windy out there and I just couldn't get on top of the ball. I threw a pick right at him. But that's what I'm talking about. He was in the right place at the right time.
You know, we're on to next week. I'm sure I look forward to the next matchup. I mean, like you said, hopefully that could be live streamed next time with live commentary. That would be epic for everybody in Broncos country.
You got to get a camera out there for man. Sure.
We got the right guy with
Herna. A lot of very good over-the-hill athletes out there.
Hey, you know what? I'm all for that. Coming up here in segment number three, we're going to close things out here with Mario Vitanzi talking more Broncos football. We're going to look at the defensive side of the ball as well in terms of what the Broncos can do with the guys that they have. Talk a little bit of rumors as well coming up here in segment number three. But before we jump into that, I got to remind you guys to listen to the Locked On Rockies podcast. Jenna Garcia is now the host of Locked On Rockies for Locked On MLB Network. Very excited to have her join the Locked On podcast network. So if you're a Broncos fan, you're a Nuggets fan, well, now we have Locked On Rockies to keep you in the loop for Colorado sports here at the Locked On podcast network, your team every day. All right, we're jumping into our final segment of the show here. We're joined by Mario Vitanzi of Vitanzi Therapy, like I said, and I'm going to have him tell you guys where you can stop into the office if you need some chiropractic work, you need to feel good with your life. Mario has the healing hands to make that happen, and he's also got the healing voice to talk Broncos football with all of us here at the Locked On Broncos podcast. So, Mario, one of the questions I have for you here in our final segment of the show, taking a look at all these moves, you know, I want to go back to last year's draft. The Broncos absolutely nailed that draft. That was a phenomenal draft, and they need to do almost the same exact thing again. But taking a look at the rookies that the Broncos had last season in terms of Cortland Sutton, Phillip Lindsay, Royce Freeman, Deshaun Hamilton, you know, these guys didn't look like rookies in a lot of instances. They took a major step up than from what we've seen from a lot of rookie players in NFL history prior. What are your thoughts on the rookies as they look to make that jump into their sophomore season?
It's going to be interesting to see the development of a lot of these guys, because I think the jury's still out on a number of them. I mean, Bradley Chubb, for instance, you know exactly what you're going to get out of him. I mean, he's going to be a consistent double-digit sack guy, especially in a Fangio defense, man. Like this, I would say the defensive line is actually the strongest part of this team, assuming these guys are all on the field. And hopefully they can either bring Pecco back or, you know, get a Pecco type of player to just really eat up the middle. But that defensive line, man, it opens up so much for what they want to do. But you look at their other picks, Cortland Sutton, you probably know what you're going to get out of him. Would have liked to see more production when Emmanuel Sanders got hurt. Once the attention of the opposing defense has kind of shifted towards him, fell off a little bit. You know, I don't think he was quite ready to be a number one guy, but it's going to be interesting to see his development. Deshaun Hamilton, again, if they're putting him in the right position, from what I've heard, he's just a phenomenal slot guy. So maybe they had him outside one too many times, but you know, for the most part, you kind of know what you're going to get from Deshaun, or from Deshaun. I think one of the biggest wild cards, I know you guys are both big Josie Jewell fans, and we do need to see a lot of development from him, because you lose a Brandon Marshall, you know, Todd Davis is going to be a solid middle linebacker, probably not going to make a ton of plays, but is a very sure tackler, good against the run. Josie's going to really have to step up. Especially assuming that Devin White does not fall to them, and maybe they don't necessarily feel like Devin Bush is worth the 10th overall pick. So time will tell on that. But a guy that I really want to keep an eye on is Isaac Yiadom. I think Isaac, you know, you find out that he played with a torn labrum for like the last two or three weeks of the season. It really shows you the grit and the toughness of this guy. He's a physical corner. He's a lot longer than I think people realize. And this whole situation where they bring in two cornerbacks, it really lit a fire under a guy like Isaac Yiadom. It was actually something that he and I have talked about. You know, you see that as a player. It's like, man, like I thought I played well. It was just my rookie year. Playing man-to-man coverage. Like, they had him one-on-one against Antonio Brown a lot for that Pittsburgh Steelers game, if you look back and go check the film. And he's like, did I do something wrong? Like, why did they sign two corners? It's like, man, this is the business. You're in the NFL now, man. It doesn't matter who you are. You got to step up. I was like, all you got to do is outperform them. So this might be the best thing for him, because now it's an extra kind of kick in the ass where he's competing. You know, last year you're a rookie, you're going to get some playing time, but, you know, it's Chris Harris and Roby going into the year. You're going to have time to develop. And with the injuries we had, guys, like, he was thrust into that starting role. So I think we're going to see the biggest improvement and spike in play time from Isaac Yiadom. I think he's a very underrated guy. And that kind of, you know, with now four corners, the Broncos have not been this deep at cornerback since that 2015 year when, you know, Kayvon Webster was their fourth best cornerback. And at the time, he probably could have been a starter most other places. We're very deep, and that's exactly why they wanted to bring those guys in here, not just to create that atmosphere of competitiveness, but because you're facing Patrick Mahomes twice a year. You're going to have to stop the pass, and that's why they did this. So really looking forward to see how Isaac Yiadom grows, looking forward to seeing how Josie Jewell kind of can he turn into like that stable middle linebacker to plug the middle. He is going to have to improve his pass coverage skills, though.
You know what? You touched a little bit on probably one of my favorite players, Justin Simmons, in the last segment, just a little bit there. But, you know, as far as his development now, and in particular with a guy like a Vic Fangio that can really put him, as we said, in the best possible situation, I think is really the best possible situation for also his career. And you and I talked about it also that at least before that we feel that Justin Simmons is in line for a huge year. And I've actually been on record at saying that I think Justin Simmons is going to make the Pro Bowl. And I think that it's just by the sheer talent level that he has, his athleticism, and should we say the freak athlete that he is, for to where that he can really match up with any of the big wide receivers. We saw it. Cody and I talked about it in one of the previous episodes, is his leaping ability over Amari Cooper, stealing that interception when EJ Manuel threw it up for grabs there at the end of the fourth quarter. But Justin Simmons is one of the, I think the, if you're looking for a lot of optimism on that defense for people that were already there on the roster, we were talking about Will Parks too, and I think that he's in there as well. But I think that Justin Simmons, you know, is probably the one guy that I could really see a huge, massive potential Pro Bowl leap.
Well, the problem with Justin Simmons last year, man, I've talked to him, and he said they had him playing seven or eight different positions, and none of which were the position in which they actually drafted him to play. He is an elite athlete. He can help in the run game if he needs to, but that's not where he really excels. That's what you use the Will Parks and the Suwak Ravens for. You let Justin go back there and you just let him roam, kind of like what the Bears do for Eddie Jackson. But like, I mean, you know, I mentioned the cover zero, and I really can't stress this enough. I don't think people realize, and Cody, I know you play defensive back or coach it, and you're associated with that. You know how hard it is to run cover zero, period. Let alone run it for an entire game. And now you're talking about a guy in Justin Simmons who's very lean, very long, very athletic, but he's playing the nickel. He's playing the dime. He's playing cornerback almost as much, if not more, than he's playing safety. And you did not spend a relatively high draft pick on this guy who could be a breakout star to have him play a bunch of positions that he is not familiar with playing. And so that's what I'm most excited about seeing with this new Fangio defense, because Fangio is going to call the shots. You know, say what you want about Donatell, but it's going to be Fangio calling the shots on defense. He's going to be in much more advantageous positions, as is the whole defense. And I know one of the things, and this thing's kind of getting swept under the rug, Derek Wolfe, by Von Miller's own admission, is the reason for a lot of Von Miller's sacks because I don't know all the minutiae of what goes on that D-line. All I know is Von has come out and said if it wasn't for Derek Wolfe, he would not be the Broncos' all-time sack leader. He would not be the sack artist that he is. But when you look at a guy like Von Miller, does he really need help? I would say not. So when you're having a guy like Derek Wolfe who is – consistently getting and eating up double teams, if you allow him now to kind of be a gap-to-gap pressure guy, almost get after the quarterback, and you let Vaughn be Vaughn, then you're not handcuffing yourself and relegating your defense to basically 10 guys. Because Von Miller does not need help getting sacks. That's what Von Miller does. So now Derek told me that he's going to be allowed to eat and to get after the quarterback, and that's going to be the aggressive defensive play call and the style that we're going to see from this Fangio defense.
And I'm excited for that too, because Derek Wolf, you know, like I said, I feel like Derek Wolf is one of the most underappreciated guys on that Broncos defense. Doesn't get a lot of love from people because, you know, you have Bradley Chubb, you have Von Miller, but when you have a guy, like you said, that literally you'll have a guard tackle or a center and a guard double team you to open things up for Von Miller to get a one-on-one with a tackle on the outside, that does open things up a lot. And to go back to your point on defensive back, I'm a huge Isaac Yiadom fan. One thing I talked about with former Broncos cornerbacks coach last year, Greg Williams, was he's a technician. If you go to training camp, you know, at the wide receiver guys, you had River Craycraft as the first guy out. Well, for defensive backs, it was always Isaac Yiadom being the first guy out there working on ladder drills, working on technique, and he'd be the last guy to leave. He'd work a little bit extra. I think he's going to take a big step here, and I think with Kareem Jackson's ability to be a versatile player, to be able to play, you know, a hybrid safety or inside, you know, as a dime potentially, I mean, he could do anything inside, outside. Will Parks' ability to be that chess piece as well for Vic Fangio. I think Isaac Yiadom does have a big role in this, but like you said, he's going to have to go out there. He's going to have to work. He did get thrown into the fire a little bit last season. Go back to that preseason game against the Minnesota Vikings, going one-on-one with Stephon Diggs. He didn't have bad coverage. The only thing that happened was, you know, Stephon Diggs and Kirk Cousins had a really good connection on a one-step slant. He had his perfect hand on position, reached for the ball side hand, but the ball was placed in an area where he couldn't get it, and people automatically became turned off saying Isaac Yiadom was getting burnt, and that's not the case. You know about defensive backs as well as I do. It is the most demanding position to play on the field because you're always at a disadvantage against guys that are already, they know where they're going, and you're playing a guessing game trying to figure out based on where, you know, how they stem, how they stack you at the top of the route, if they're going inside, outside, whatever they're doing. And these are elite athletes that we're talking about. I think Isaac Yiadom will take a big step in 2019. My hope is that he can, alongside Chris Harris, to be able to move outside a little bit at times. We know that's something he's wanted to do. But I'm excited on paper right now for this Broncos defense. I know everybody else is as well. But Mario, we're coming here to the end of our show. I want to thank you for joining us. But tell fans and listeners of Lockdown Broncos, if they're in the Denver area, if they're having some hip concerns, back concerns, even ribs, like if you have a migraine, it could be linked to your hip being out of place. And how can you get that fixed?
Yeah, it's crazy how everything is connected. So I consider myself a little bit of a Swiss Army knife. You know, it's like any sort of pain that could be hampering you, I have a solution for it. You know, I call myself, I market myself, if you will, as the Jedi of the human body, right? So if you're interested in what exactly it is that I do, because it can't really be boiled down, I consider myself a body worker or a manual therapist. So you can go to VetanzeTherapy.com. That's VetanzeTherapy.com. Take a look at the website, you know, some of the Instagram pictures, you know, the guys, the Bronco players I work on, stuff like that. Different business partnerships. You can all find it there. And if you are, you know, in the Denver area or in the Aurora Centennial area, my office is located at 13710 East Rice Place, right there on Parker and Quincy. To schedule an appointment, you can give us a call at 303-693-BACK. That's 303-693-2225. Any sort of pain that you could potentially be having, I mean, I'll find stuff that you didn't even know hurt, and then I will fix it for you. That's what I really pride myself on doing.
Check it out there. And obviously, you've been joining us for the first ever segment of Well Adjusted with Mario Vetanzi.
I'm well like adjusted, I said, he's baby. A miracle That's what it worker. Is.
He's well adjusted. And he's going to be here with us on Lockdown Broncos every single week. So looking forward to speaking with Mario once again. On behalf of my co-host, Cameron Parker, I'm Cody Rourke. We got a big show in store for you guys this week. We're going to have Broncos defensive lineman Shelby Harris joining the podcast to talk about his offseason and obviously re-signing, what it's like for him and his family as he looks to prove big time that he belongs on this Denver Broncos defensive line, more so than he's been utilized. Very excited about seeing his work with Bill Collar. And Mario, we'll see you next week in Broncos country. Guess what? We'll see you tomorrow morning for another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast.